Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, I want to talk about Black History Month and talk about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But before I do that tonight, I want to bring some things to you. I want to tell you 2022. I see yo up there. I want to say this history, this month, Black History Month, going to make things work for you. And I want to go to 79:21. For you, it seems like things from your ancestors are going to come back to you. I want to tell you 33:93, the truth of your father and your mother told me to tell you, just sit still and watch things work, because ain't nothing you can do but pray to change the scenario of that. 41:42, I want to tell you tonight, as we get into Martin Luther King tonight, that doors that close almost. What I'm saying to you, many doors gonna open up for you tonight going into the Black History Month. Lots of things gonna reveal. Now, right now, when we deal with politics, we see where it's midnight in America. Well, Bishop, what you talking about? When you got government will not give reparation to people that's been here on this planet, that was brought here in handcuffs and chains, and we still are underpaid. We still locked in and locked out. Blacks are being killed at whim and way. And not only that, black-on-black crime. And this is what happened. I want to tell all of you that listen tonight. The report said it's more syphilis in Cook County, Chicago, ever was. Now, you say, bitch, where that come from? Because people are liberal, having sex liberal. You got women going with men that go with men. And that bring on filth and bring on death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. What I'm saying to you, this is Monday, the Dr. King movement. Dr. King, February 11th, 1962, Dr. King said something happening right now. I'm gonna play that later on. But Dr. King said the Middle East is in midnight, and we find that out. We find out the Congress have turned its back from its people. The people that being killed and the people that they furnish guns to, okay? And Kennedy said, if we don't stop the killing, we're going to destroy a nation. America on its way out. It's a fall. And I want you to know it as black people, as white people. We're talking about the human race. We're talking about black, white, and everybody that's in America. We got to come to the realization that we need to work together. Some of you, well, Bishop, it don't happen to me. If it happened to one of us, it happened to all of us. You got to say, what can I do to make life better? Every church, every pastor, every Jewish synagogue, and every imam, the Muslim, the Jew, the Christian, and the Catholic will have to come together to save the world. And if we don't come together, we're going to destroy each other. And we're on that level now. We on a one-way path of suicide. And all of them going to be saved, them that embrace the word of God. John 3:16, so God so loved the word he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him tonight shall not perish but have everlasting life. You got to believe that, you got to have faith and believe that God said high and looked low, and God is still. The lady called me and said, Bishop, my son on drugs, what can I do? He cussed me out. I said, pray. Pray. We got to go back to fasting. We got to go back to prayer. We got to go back to the Bible. We got to go back to what our ancestors made. Set back for a comeback. We were set back, and we're coming back. But we're coming back with the truth that God is God, and whatever you need, God got. Some of you done dropped out. I mean, senior citizens don't want to pray no more. You got children don't know nothing about prayer. And they are not in, they dropping out of school thinking sticking somebody up, getting the car is king. So we got a long ways to go. We done come a long ways, but we have a long way to go. The reason I'm saying that tonight, many of you that called in, and I want to tell you, Sister Sarah, I see where you called in, I want to tell you, you can't worry about your family that's not doing what you said. You got to keep on praying, and the word of prayer will change things. I want to say to you, those that lost love when the lady said the police shot her son, and they called the police, and police come out and shot and killed the boy. Now, that's one that's black on black. But you got 20 is shooting each other. If the police shot two and you got somebody in the street killing 20 and 30, you got to pray for the whole thing is corrupt, evil. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God's life. What I'm saying tonight, okay, if the police officer that is scared, they're going to shoot because they're afraid. And you got to understand, they want to march and so the police shot people. Yeah, that's wrong. But it's wrong for Joe to go kill 20 people. That's wrong. Here's a boy shoot his mama and the whole family. Ain't nobody said he was wrong. They said it ain't that bad. Evil is evil. Let me say that again. Evil is in white and black, brown, evil. And how you overcome evil? It says, fret not thyself of evildoers. They'll soon be cut down. They're not going to last long. So you don't get involved in trying to do something. You stay in prayer. You stay reading your Bible. And you tell them what, and you leave it alone. I wish I had somebody listen to me tonight. This is the Dr. King Movement night. In the spirit of Black History Month, we got to call it what it is. Blacks are destroying blacks. Brown is destroying brown. What's happening? Evil is running the course in the church. The pastor's scared to talk. The pastor come in and they try to feed some people and they try to help, but they got people coming in from across the water, got diseases. When you got half of Chicago got gonorrhea and got syphilis, that lets you know somebody involved in sexual relationship. Women don't care because the man going with another man. They just want to have sex. That's lust of the flesh. And it said the lust of the flesh is desire of death. And said the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God, eternal life. So what we got to hold on to the gift of God and pray. I don't care if you're in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, across Africa, wherever you might be. It's going on. It's a dark day in America. It's midnight in America. And when I say it's midnight, and I was listening to Dr. King, and somebody said, well, Dr. King was prophesying, and he was prophesying the truth. And some people don't want to say it. Dr. King was telling the truth. And some of them didn't want to listen to what he saying, but he was saying the truth, that we're caught up in a strange darkness, and darkness is in midnight. When I said a strange knock at midnight, Satan, or evil, or the devil, whatever you want to call it, evil spirits, is knocking on your door and my door. Cancer, TB, tuberculosis. You got more men got prostate cancer. You know you got more women got cancer at the womb than you got people having heart attacks and stroke. Why? They're not going to God in prayer. And I just believe tonight, and as I pray, God can release your healing. God can heal that body. It's a strange thing happening in our world, and you want to listen to all the jive talk, all the but we done forgot prayer. We done forgot what our grandparents, our ancestors, they didn't have that much of cancer. They didn't have no gonorrhea and all these diseases. Disease is because of evil. Oh, I wish I had somebody. If you don't read your Bible, it tells you the wages of sin, and these are the wages of sin. Hate, racism is sin. Lying and killing and murder is sin. The warlocks and the witches is running strong all over the world. Anytime somebody want to give $1 million, $1 trillion to buy bombs and tanks to kill people, that's evil. I don't care if America, I don't care if Russia, whoever doing it, that's evil. And you got to see evil for what it's worth. You just can't sit back and say, well, that's going to happen. It ain't going to happen till men and women of faith begin to pray. Pastors have sat down. They take their offering up on Sunday morning. You don't see them till next Sunday. You got children that are sick. You got homosexual in the church and saying homosexual is all right. It's not all right. Romans 1 and 26, God said, I'm going to turn them over to a reprobate mind. They're going to go crazy. And we're in a crazy type of situation right now in America. We're in a situation where they are not acknowledging God. We're in a situation now where men and women rather go to the movie show or rather go to a dance to sit down and get the family together and pray. Families don't eat together now. They go to McDonald's and Wendy's. The children don't listen to mama and daddy. They killing mama and daddies. Okay? Here's a boy killed his mama, sister, brother. And they said, what's wrong with him? He's under a demonic spirit, a demonic curse, okay? So I'm telling you what I'm talking about. This demonic curse is in the air. And the way you keep it off of you, prayer. The way you keep it away from your family, prayer. I don't care what your daughter doing, care what your son doing, what your brother, what your wife doing, as long as you stay in prayer. Long as you stay with God, God will see you through all this evil that's going to, it's a strange darkness that's going on. Now, Dr. King, take this tape, February the 11th, we in the month of February, 1962. And what he's saying is happening right now. It blows my mind. I said, look at this him. This man was truly a prophet of God and a good auditor. Dr. King was a prophet, and Dr. King was an auditor. And I want to tell you, some of you got death in your family, and you said, well, wonder why they died. Because the Bible said the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God. Because of sin, death gonna come. Because of sin, cancer, high blood, low blood gonna come. Because you don't take everything to prayer. Ancestors worked in the cotton fields and worked in the sugarcane field, but they had one thing: they had prayer, and they believed in the divine God. Well, we got people now don't believe in God. They believe in watching TV. They believe in the Oscars and all that other mess, that white magic that's going on. And we're under white magic. We're caught up in the warlocks and the witches. You know, one lady said, Bishop, pray for my son. He's on dope. And I don't know what to do. I said, prayer. Change everything. God haven't changed. The same God of yesterday is the God of today. And some of you get mad. What you gonna get mad for? Begin to pray. I want to tell you, I want to tell you, 49:51, I want to tell you this Black History. The Spirit said that your family that you struggling about, your daughter going to come home, okay? You've been crying to my, where she at? You calling the police? Don't call the police, call God. See, old folks, my great-grandmother used to pray, and she was down in the country. She prayed, things happened. She didn't call no police. She didn't call no preacher. She went on her knees. And some of you don't want to go on your knees. You think you're too pretty to go on your knees and think, you know, that you know everything. Prayer changes things. Let me say that again. Prayer changes things. It's a strange knock at midnight. I want to say this. You don't believe it. We at midnight in America. America might get bombed anytime. We got people in America right now is doing evil stuff. We had opened the door and let them in. And we let them in. They need help. They need to go back home where they come from because the people are sick. If these people coming in America, they ain't seeing no doctor. They got scabies. They got high blood. They got sugar. They got rabies. All the diseases, they got bugs in their body, and they go to your store and drop it. And the government ain't saying nothing about it. What I'm saying to you tonight, there's a strange knock at midnight. And if you're not prayerful, you ain't going to hear the knock. The knock is go back to God. Psalm 44, Psalm 78, Psalms 21. Now, I want to tell you tonight, I want to get loose and let you know that when they was in the valley of the dry bones, them people were dead. And God asked Ezekiel, can they live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, I know it. Those that want you to listen to me, your son, your daughter, your brother, all of them, they are full of sin. They're demons. And demons going to die. Because he said the wages of sin is death and the gift of God, eternal life. So the ancestor, the angel, you know, and I was talking to a Chinese guy today. He said, Bishop, it's the year of the dragon. I said, that means fire. He said, I see Moses riding the dragon. That's water. So you're going to see floods, tornadoes, and storms coming all over. Look what happened in California. They got storm floods right now as I speak. Over in Benedict, over in the third world country, they got fire. They got whole towns set on fire. That's the spirit of the dragons. They spit fire. I know y'all don't want to hear them. God always sent a sign. God always got a woman or a man that can interpret what's going on today, what's going on right now in your life. And I want to tell you tonight, Gloria, this is for you. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on God. Whatever you need, God will give you materialistic stuff. It said, what does a man gain the world? All the money, all the gold, you lose your soul. Okay? Now, what that mean? That mean that you putting stuff, cars, home before God. You go to God, and God will give you what you want. You have not, because you ask not. The preachers have sat down. They're not trying to teach people nothing. Most of them is homosexual, and they caught up with what's going on. So it's a dark way that's going on in our society. But you that listening to God tonight, you that listening to the word of God, you're going to be blessed. you're going to be healed. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how long your son been on dope, how long your brother been on dope, your wife, your husband, your children. When you put prayer in front of all that, they going to change or they going to die. And when you say, oh, Johnny died, what did the Bible say? The wages of sin is death. When you sin, you're going to die. That's the Bible. That's the word. And the ancestors understood that. They couldn't kill us. They brought our ancestors, killed them, hung them, and lynched them. We still him. We still him. We still talking about the wages of sin is death, the gift of God. I would ask somebody that you stop putting God in front. You put everything else in front of God. That's why don't nothing happen for you. Yeah, don't nobody love me. No, you don't love yourself. Know yourself, be yourself, and if you know yourself, you can be yourself. But if you don't know God or the universe, how can you be yourself when you're trying to do what somebody else do? Your prayers is different. If I got 20 people that pray, God's going to get all of you a different word, and he's going to give you a different prophecy. Now, this is what I was saying to some people, and there's a vision of what it is. I said, I want to tell you tonight, I want you to know tonight some of the stuff that's going on in our world that will work for you, and it'll work quick, fast, and in a hurry. See, and that's what I'm saying for you. Once you know that God will do something special for you. Now, the tape I'm going to play tonight for you, get your pencil and paper, and you can go along with me. Now, Dr. King did this tape February the 11th, 1962. He's talking about the Middle East. He's talking about the guns that the government have let out. He talked about people that are killing themselves. And it seemed like this particular sermon is for us right now. We're talking about how selfish you is, that you won't spend nothing to help nobody. But you can't help nobody. You got to help yourself. How you help yourself? By prayer. You know, wives and husbands fall out, and they wonder why, that they get married today and they divorce tomorrow. Husband killing wife, wife killing husband, set up evil. Evil is in the land, people. He said, bitch, what can I do? You can pray. You can have faith that God going to send his angels, going to send his saint to be around you and your family. I was telling a young lady, and she said, Bishop, I don't know what to do. I said, what have you been doing? I've been calling the psychic line. I said, don't call the psychic line. Call God. Don't call the psychic line. Call God. When you call God, you're going to get a change. Some of you have strayed away from the word of God. Yeah, some of your friends, they don't believe in calling on God. They want to call the hotline, the psychic line, okay? But they want to call the warlock and the witch. The warlock and witches can't help you in your problem. You got to go to God in prayer. You got to go to God saying, God, you know, let your will be done. Some of it is the will of God. You can't stop it. The curse is already down because they have violated God. Do you know we're in a bad situation when you got the government won't look and do nothing but all these guns that they're putting out here, all the killing? It's more killing go on in America than anywhere in the world. So that's evil. So we are setting up for the fall, okay? Now, I want to play this Dr. King for you.
Our text this morning is taken from one of the familiar parables of our Lord and Master, found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel as recorded by St. Luke.
Now, Dr. King cut this tape February, Black History Month. He recorded this February 11th, 1962. If you listen close, you think he's talking about what's happening today.
It began that the fifth verse. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed.
Yes.
I cannot rise and give thee. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Now this is a parable dealing with the power of persistent prayer. But one of the things we always notice about the parables of Jesus is that although they were always told to get over one basic thought, you can usually find in every parable of Jesus great facets of thought not intended as a main point. And as I look at this parable, I see within it a basic outline and a basic guide in dealing with many of the problems that we confront in our nation and in the world today, and the role of the church. Now, the first thing that we notice in this parable is that it is midnight. It is also midnight in our world today. And we are experiencing a darkness so deep that we can hardly see which way to turn. It's midnight. It's midnight in the social order. Now, the Middle East has had the headlines over the last few days, but it should not all cause us to forget that there is another war. It's a futile, bloody, costly war taking place on Asian soil. And we look over to Vietnam, and what do we see? We see the rice fields of a little Asian country being burned at will and trampled at them. We see innocent peasants and little children being burned with napalm. Then we see the fine young men of our country dying in mounting numbers. All of this is indicative of the fact that it's midnight. The nations of the world are engaged in a bitter and tragic contest for supremacy. And you see, the real danger is that if we don't change our course in this world, all of the modern weapons of warfare will soon conspire to bring an untimely death to the human family on this globe. The late President Kennedy was right. Mankind must put an end to war. A war will put an end to mankind. Not only is it midnight in man's collective life, but it's midnight in his individual life. It's midnight in the psychological order. People are more worried, more frustrated, more bewildered today than at any period of human history. And so many of us find that clouds of anxiety are floating in our mental skies. The psychopathic wards of our hospitals are full today. Who are the popular psychologists today? They are the psychoanalysts who delve into the inner chambers of the subconscious. What are the popular books in psychology? They are books entitled Man Against Himself, Modern Man in Search of the Soul, The Neurotic Personality of Our Times. And what are the popular books, the bestsellers in religion today? They are books entitled Peace of Mind, Peace of Soul. And who are the popular preachers? They are so often preachers who will preach nice little soothing sermons on how to be happy, how to relax, how to keep your blood pressure down. And so we have retranslated the gospel to read, Go ye into all the world and keep your blood pressure down, and lo, I will make you a well-adjusted personality. All of this is indicative of the fact that it is midnight in the psychological order. But not only that, it's midnight in the moral order. Midnight is a time when all colors lose their distinctiveness, and everything becomes merely a dirty shade of gray. In the sense of the moral order, midnight is a time when all moral values lose their distinctiveness. And so in our world today, for so many people, there's nothing absolutely right, nothing absolutely wrong. Just a matter of what the majority of people are doing. Over and over again, we see this. Most people live by the philosophy, everybody is doing it, so it must be all right. It's midnight in the moral order. And you know, midnight is a time when everybody's trying to get by. And this is exactly what we have done so often. We have ended up with our ethical relativism, feeling that the only thing right is to get by. And the only thing wrong is to get caught. And so today we don't talk about the Darwinian survival of the fittest. That was a theory that came along, but For us, it's a philosophy of the survival of the slickest. Nobody is concerned about obeying the Ten Commandments in so many instances. They are not important. Everybody is busy trying to obey the 11th commandment, thou shalt not get caught. According to this tragic philosophy, it's all right to lie, but just lie with a bit of finesse. It's all right to exploit and rob, but be a dignified exploiter so that when you do it, it becomes embezzlement rather than just stealing. It's all right even to hate, to dress your hate in the garments of love and make it appear that you are loving when you are actually hating. Just get by. This tragic moral laxity, this tendency to be caught up in the chains of conformity, is destroying the soul of our nation, the soul of the world, and so many individuals. We find ourselves today standing in the midst of a threefold midnight. Midnight in the social order.
Yes.
It's midnight in the psychological order. It's midnight in the moral order. But as in the parable, so in our world today, if the deep darkness of the midnight is interrupted by a knock.
Yes.
The parable talked about this man seeking three loaves of bread, physical bread. In our world today, men and women are in search for three loaves of spiritual bread. They want the bread of faith. So many people have lost faith in themselves. They've lost faith in their neighbors. They've lost faith in God. And in the midst of this faithlessness, they find themselves crying out, Lord, I believe, but help by mine unbelief. They want the bread of faith. And then that is the quest for the bread of hope. Everybody needs this bread. Everybody wants it. When you stop hoping, you die. And yet so many people have lost hope today. They feel that they have nothing to look forward to. So many young people have lost hope. They have become cynical. They see all of the problems of the world. So many young men feel that there's nothing to look forward to in life but going to the battlefield, giving one's life maybe in something very futile. They look around the world and they lose hope. So many people find themselves crying out with Shakespeare's Macbeth that life is a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So many find themselves crying out with the philosopher Schopenhauer that life is an endless pain with a painful end. So many find themselves crying out to Paul Robert Dunbar, touch the bread in a corner to sleep in, a minute to smile and an hour to weep in, a kind of joy to a peck of trouble and never to laugh as the moans come double, and that is life. In the midst of this hopelessness, men and women reach out for the bread of hope. Then that is the quest for the bread of love. Everybody needs this bread. We need it in two ways. First, we need to learn how to love. The great problem of mankind today is still that there's too much hatred around. more than anything else, we've got to learn to love.
Yeah.
In America, the white man must love the black man. The black man must love the white man. Because we are all tied together.
Yeah.
In a single garment of destiny.
I know.
And we can't keep having riots every summer in our cities. We can't keep having all of these problems all over our nation. Our white brothers must understand that we are too poor. And the federal government has enough money to get rid of slums and poverty and get rid of these conditions that make the riots. There's no point in continuing to make up excuses. Our white brothers are about to come to see one thing. We are in America, and we are here to stay, and we've got to learn how to live together. We ain't going nowhere. That's the basic need in this country. There are 22 million Negroes that we have counted up. The census figures give us that. Now, they don't take under consideration the number of Negroes that ran when they saw the census man coming, thinking it was somebody to collect the bill. So when you add the numbers they didn't get, it's at least 30 million Negroes in America. And we are here to stay. Now, white brothers have got to learn to live with it. Now, in our anger and in our response to the oppression and the hatred that we face, we must not, you know, turn around and do the same thing. You see, you never solve one problem of tyranny by substituting the new tyranny. Doctrine of black supremacy is as evil as the doctrine of white supremacy. God is not interested merely in the freedom of black men and brown men and yellow men, but God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race. The creation of a society where all men will live together as brothers, and every man will respect the dignity and the worth of human personality. And the one way that every man will be able to do this is to remember that one word that Jesus talked about so often. And that is the word love. So in the midnight hour, the life of our world and our nation, I see men and women by the thousands running toward the Church of God, trying to get the bread of faith, the bread of hope, and the bread of love. Now go with me a little further, if you will. You remember when that man knocked on the door? The man on the inside said in substance, "Don't bother me. I'm busy. My children are in the bed and I'm engaged in something else. Don't worry me." So that man from within left the man on the outside disappointed at the hour of his greatest need. And oh, my friends of Mount Zion, I come to you this morning having to honestly admit that the church has often left men and women disappointed at the greatest hour of need, the hour that they needed bread most.
This recording is briefly interrupted at this point.
I stood in Westminster Abbey not long ago in London, that great cathedral of the Church of England. And I had a marvelous experience on the one hand, an enrapturing experience. One cannot help but be moved by the beauty of the architecture with all of its Gothic outpourings. And on the other hand, I had a sad experience. Because I had to remember that there was a day when they could honestly say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. They could say that because more than 785 million of God's children were dominated by the British Empire. And the Church of England never took a significant stand against colonialism. And I stood there in Westminster Abbey over the tombs of kings and queens that had been buried there. And I said to myself, the church can die as a result of the judgment of God, as a result of refusing to stand up against evil. So often, the church has left men and women disappointed at midnight. There are men who stand up in the pulpit, preach every Sunday. I'm speaking now of white preachers. And yet they can look at racial injustice and never open their mouths against it. And we would have peace in this world today. We could have peace in this world today. The church would really take a stand against it. There are almost 1 billion Christians in the world. Never forget that. We got to go back to the fervor of the early church. Early Christians would not fight war. Stood up before Caesar and Caesar's household. Said, no, we will not fight war. Sometimes because they wouldn't obey the edicts of the Roman Empire. They were born into the lion's den. They were born on the chopping block. They went there with a hymn on their lips and praises to God, and they often went there smiling, and somebody would say, what is it that makes you so happy? Is it in your ecclesiastical machinery? No. Is it in your creedal system? No, it's not merely that. What is it then? We are happy and we are inspired because we love the brother, and that is what it is. We've got to recapture that. Now, I don't want to sound provincial and say that all of the problems are just the so-called white church.
Well,
the Negro church has often left men and women disappointed at midnight. We have two types of Negro churches that leave men disappointed at midnight. One freezes up and the other one burns up. Now, the one that freezes up is that church, you know, that says it's a dignified church. And preacher preaches a nice little essay on Sunday. And he's really afraid to get in his sermon and say it like he really means it and believes it. And then the choir is afraid to sing with meaning and power, and they don't sing Negro spirituals and gospel songs because that reminds them of their heritage. So they're busy trying to see they're ashamed that they're black. And they're ashamed that their ancestral home was Africa. And so they made on trying to build a church that has no relationship whatsoever with their past. And then, of course, they boast about their members. They go on to tell you, if you go there, we have so many doctors.
Yes.
We have so many lawyers. And
yes.
We have so many school teachers. And we have so many businessmen. And, of course, it's good for all of these people to be in church, all professional people to go to church. But you see, they say it as if the other people don't count. The other people who didn't get to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, talk like the other people don't count. Not as another church that burns up.
My Lord.
Now in this church, the emphasis is on muscularity rather than spirituality. And in this kind of church, people have more religion in their hands and feet than they have in their hearts and souls. In this church, sometimes even the pastor doesn't prepare any sermon to preach. He just depends on his voice, on volume, not content. And the people leave on Sunday and say, you know, we had a great service today, and the preacher just preached this morning. And somebody said, what did he say? I don't know what he said, but he preached this morning. Now the danger of this kind of church is that people will play with God. The danger of this kind of church is that people make religion irrelevant. It becomes merely emotionalism. Now religion, when it is real, is emotional, as well as intellectually meaningful and respectable. But it is emotional. But the danger of this kind of religion is that the pastor and the members will have what Paul called a zeal of God, not according to knowledge. When I quoted that passage earlier, it said not only love the Lord thy God with all our heart, but it said with all our mind. The other danger of this kind of church is that everybody involved will become so caught up in the irrelevant that they will not be concerned about the day-to-day problems. It seems that I can hear the God of the universe saying, don't play with me and don't play with my people. Seems that I can hear the God of the universe speaking to the Negro church and the white church also. He's saying, my people are hungry. They're in need of bread. Don't play with me and don't play with them. And they come at midnight seeking bread provided for them. If you don't do that, I won't hear your beautiful answer. You can preach your eloquent sermon. You can pray your powerful prayers, but I won't hear any of it. Because your hands are full of blood. The thing that I'm concerned about is that you will let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. If you want to know what it is that I require of you, it's simply this. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. This is what I require. We must never leave men and women disappointed at midnight. Come on with me a little further, and I'm about to close out, but there are one or two other things I want to say. The interesting thing is that after that man knocked on that door, the man on the inside didn't open the door. The man on the outside kept knocking. The passage uses a big word, importunity. Importunity means persistence. Perseverance. It means, you know, to keep on keeping on. It means staying with it. That man just kept knocking. Now, if you would allow me to use my imagination a minute, I'll tell you why he kept knocking.
Well,
He realized that some bread in that house. You see, if he had thought for 1 minute that there wasn't any bread in that house, he would have gone on to the next house. He wouldn't have been wasting his time around after he had been disappointed if he had thought there was no bread there. Deep down within, that man knew that there was some bread in that house. No, this is what we must hear today as a church. This is what I want to leave with the men here this morning and all of the members. Mount Zion, you have the bread of life.
Well,
keep the bread fresh. Don't let it get stale because somebody is coming by here.
Well,
try to find a little bread. Some young man disillusioned about life is going to come by here one day. Try to get the bread of faith and the bread of hope, keep it fresh. Some young person who has made a mistake in life, caught up in tragic guilt feelings, will come by here one day. Somebody who's made a mistake, some young person who tried to drown the guilt by finding an answer elsewhere. They tried to find it in the nightclub. They didn't find it there. Tried to find it in excessive drink. They didn't find it there. They tried to find it in sex promiscuity. They didn't find it there. But one day they're coming by here. Wanting the bread of forgiveness, and you've got to keep it fresh enough to let them know that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Keep the bread fresh. One day some old person is coming by. Someone who has been through the morning of childhood and the noon of adulthood, and now they're moving toward the evening of life. They're worried about bad health. They're worried about death. They need a little bread to tide them over. One day they're coming by. Keep the bread fresh enough to let them know. They don't have to worry about death if they love God. Keep the bread fresh enough to let them know that death is not the period which ends this great sentence of life, but a comma that punctuates it to more loftier significance. Keep the bread fresh enough to let them know that death is not a blind alley that leads the human race into a state of nothingness, but an open door that leads men into life eternal. Keep the bread fresh enough to cry out one day, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, angels nor principalities, things present nor things to come, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Keep the bread fresh. We have the bread of life in the church. It is our job to keep it fresh. I'm coming on home now. I don't want to sit down for fear. You may go away despondent. I've talked about midnight. Talked about darkness. My last point is that man who knocked on the door was just trying to get enough bread to tide him over until the dawn. He knew that morning.